Libra, Leo, Cancer,
Ralph,
Charles, Paul, Larry,
Robin Lynn, and I'm a Taurus, and I love listening to Vibes Live Radio. Thank you for keeping the vibes live.
Just don't stop it and just get ready to jam. The Disco Dandy Wide World of Hip Hop Radio Show. Every Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Only on VibesLive.com. With special guests every week. Don't miss it.
Hello out there, Disco Daddy here, and welcome to another edition of Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip Hop. If you've been following us, you know that we've been interviewing legends and pioneers of this now worldwide culture that we call hip hop. People who you may not have heard of, but who are legendary nonetheless. Legendary doesn't mean famous, and famous doesn't mean legendary. Okay, we've got a mixture of both. Today we have a queen. By any measure, okay, a true queen of our culture. Her name is Medusa, and she's a multifaceted, multi-talented artist and a beautiful human being. I've been blessed to participate in a couple of shows with her, and she's a fantastic performer on top of all of that. So today we're going to get into the story of a queen that you may not have heard of. She's very popular, and she is known worldwide. However, her story may not be. Today you're going to hear from Medusa herself, her story about her life and how she got into hip-hop and basically what she's doing now, because she's still very active in the business and she is still performing and still out there on the grind, okay? Welcome to Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip-Hop, Medusa.
Thank you, Disco Daddy. Let me start by saying happy birthday, loved one.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, it's an honor to be interviewing you on my birthday. That's like a special birthday gift, okay?
Yeah, I feel special. I feel like it's my birthday.
So how have you been, Queen?
I've been blessed, you know, just moving and motivated and agitating the maker, you know?
Okay. Okay. Well, today it's all about you. For the next half an hour, I'd like you to start at the beginning of your life and tell the story in a condensed version on all the important things and people you want to shout out to who helped you along the way and maybe the ones who didn't. And, you know, there's haters out there you might want. We don't have to get into any negative stuff, you know, but I'm just saying, let's hear the story of Medusa from her. Medusa, ladies and gentlemen, on Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip Hop.
You know, I think you always have to start when you're dealing with music on what influenced you to be involved in it in the first place. Mm. And it wasn't just hip hop. It was my auntie. She was a singer with the Undisputed Truth.
Wow.
And, you know, the
smiling faces sometimes.
Say again?
Smiling faces sometimes. That was
exactly.
Okay.
Right. She was on tour. Their group was on tour with the Jackson 5.
Wow.
And I was 7 years old. She came and picked me up in a limousine. I used to go to the studio with her, and she took me on this West Coast tour with her with the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to see, So I was able to see the behind the scenes as a 7 year old, the musicianship, the camaraderie that you have backstage.
You met a young Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I met all the Jacksons. My auntie at the time was dating Jermaine Jackson.
Wow.
And, yeah, so it was just an interesting upbringing.
Thank
you know,
you.
My uncle played percussion in the group as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that is what pulled me into wanting to actually write music.
Wow.
So I have to give all praises to God putting me in a family of other musicians.
And you started at the top, actually.
it felt right. And okay. During that time, you know, that was a time frame of music. You got Earth, Wind, and Fire. You got the Isley Brothers. You got, you know, the Tina Marie's, I mean, you name it. I mean, come on, the list goes on.
Stuff is popping at that time. Yeah, too.
That music raised me,
okay.
You know. So coming into my teens, I'm still looking at Soul Train. And on Soul Train, you see the Lockers. You see the Poppers.
Right.
So hip-hop, for me, was pop-locking.
Hmm.
So I'm that kid in junior high school trying to lock and jump in the air and land on my booty, do the pancake.
What year is this? It's very important. We try to keep a chronology here for future historians that you started doing this.
I was actually locking in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, you don't have to tell on yourself if you don't want to. You get that's good enough.
Okay. I mean, I figure if people do the math, they can do it. I'm condensing here. I don't have to give numbers.
I got you.
So it went from pop locking, mm-hmm. and I mean, when I say that, all through my teens. So
right.
You're talking the 80s. I'm ditching school. I'm living in Pomona.
Serious.
Being Pomona, ditching my last two periods so that I can go to L.A. and
uh-huh.
battle Garfield High,
uh-huh.
battle Boogaloo Shrimp. And you know, I became a part of a crew called the Groovatrons only because they pulled up in front of my school in the Pinto Club, pulled
Boogaloo Shrimp was, I hate to interrupt you, but Boogaloo Shrimp was active back then. He hadn't done a movie yet, but was he or had he?
He was active. He was in a crew himself. You know, this
okay.
was huge. We used to pop lockers used to meet and battle on sets at the skate depot. You name it. Everywhere we can catch each other. And you know it's bad when kids
right.
are ditching to catch you coming out at school just to battle you in pop locking.
I'm telling you, okay.
Not fighting, not gangbanging, not trying to start no mess. Just
right.
battle pop.
Right, I got you.
And there were clubs out here called Radiotron.
Mm-hmm.
In Pasadena, there was Backstreet. You know,
okay.
a lot of young clubs happened at a lot of skating rings. So these were our outlets when
this
we got
was like
down.
83, around 82, 83.
81, all of that. 80, 81, 82, and 83.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
now you were there. I just want to interject. Radiotron was the fertile ground. I consider it probably the birthplace of hip hop because it was a place that allowed people who were the young people who were into this new genre. Probably by 82, 83, it had a name hip hop, but before that, basically, it was a place for breakers, rappers, mm-hmm. DJs, and everything to come together, and it formed the basis, the foundation of the L.A. hip-hop scene, and you were part of that.
Definite.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of those out in Westwood pop-locking on the streets. I was at Venice Beach pop-locking, you
mm-hmm.
know, and every time a Radiotron happened, if we can make it, we were there.
Mm-hmm.
If the sports arena was popping with Uncle Jam's Army, we were there. You
mm.
know, that's how I know about the Time Bandits, Heckle and Jekyll. You know, when the set of breaking happened, do you know how many pop lockers and breakers showed up so
right.
that they could get down with that? Do you know how many came from all over Los Angeles? Every part, Pomona, San Bernardino, Pasadena, the Valley, and all of L.A.
Okay.
showed up for this, you know, and dressed accordingly,
right.
you know.
Right.
So that being a part of what I was doing in hip-hop, of course, when Rapper's Delight came out, I was like, that wordplay, I have to be a part of that,
huh.
you know. I already tried rapping
before the record came out? I mean, actually, the record sort of spurred everybody into rapping, but had you, there were certain, you know, nobody really knew about rapping until if you didn't live in New York too much about that. But did you use the name Medusa from the time?
No, no.
started your career?
No. As a pop locker with the Groovatrons, I was known as Lady Tick Tut.
Okay.
You know, usually you were named after the best moves you had. Mm. So I was a hard picker, and I had a couple tut.
Okay. At what point did you pick up? Now, you hear Raptor's Delight, and you decide you can do that, okay? Much the same. There was the same thing with me when I heard that. I was a DJ already, but I said, you know what? I was doing a little teeny rhyme. I said, I can do that, and that was what sparked me, that same record. So at what point did you start, and what point did you start becoming Medusa?
Well, I became Medusa. You know, there was a spurt after high school where I decided I'm going to be a hustler. Mm-hmm. And in that hustle mode, and you know, I won't speak on the hustle because it definitely wasn't drugs, but it was something that could really, you know, probably still get me in trouble to this day. But
it was about some paper, and we all need that at times. So hey,
you feel me?
So
I ended up getting caught up in my hustle. And did some jail time.
Right.
And when I got out, I promised myself that I would never end up in that situation again. Mm-hmm. And I had to choose what my passion was. Mm-hmm. And my passion was always music, always. Mm-hmm. So when I got out, my cousin Coco picked me up, and we went to a studio. Mm-hmm. And we chilled there for about 2 days with a friend of ours. And her and I created this group called Sin, S-I-N, Strength in Numbers.
Hmm.
And the first song we wrote was Power of the P, Power of the Pussy. That was, and you're talking about the beginning of the 90s. So you better believe that we were the first to write a hip-hop song about the power of the P.
Gotcha. East Coast or West?
Yes, indeed.
Yes,
so,
all right.
So we went.
What was your partner's name again? Medusa?
Coco.
Coco, was it Medusa and Coco?
Medusa and Coco, indeed.
Okay.
And we performed the Power of the P for the first time at the Good Life Cafe.
Hmm.
And, yeah.
I got to slow you there because you got to explain to our audience. I know what the Good Life was and what it meant in impact, but you got to go into that for a second, explain what the Good Life was, and then I'll remind you, okay, to take up where you performed at the Good Life. But go into that and explain to you how important the Good Life was, just like the Radiotron. This is another era. This is 10 years later.
Exactly. And that's, you know, I'm going to go right into it for you. Trust and believe that.
Okay.
So the Good Life Cafe was the place where all of the underground artists, everybody that's practicing and working on their craft would come and showcase their new rhymes, showcase their new styles.
On Crenshaw Boulevard in L.A.
Yes, this was in L.A. on Crenshaw and Exposition.
Right.
A lady by the name of B. Hall had started this spot. And it was actually a health food location. I ended up staying around the corner from it not too long after that, and I used to frequent it just for my health food good. But the key with the Good Life Cafe is these youngsters weren't allowed to cut. So you had to be very crafty with your vocab if you were going to step up in the Good Life Cafe.
They had freestyle sessions on the weekends, right?
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
It would be ridiculous. Pouring out into the parking lot to where most people couldn't even get in. And if you didn't sign the list, you weren't going to be seen on the stage.
Yeah.
So you're talking about a location that fit about 75 people, and outside there'd be 100 people.
Yeah.
And if you didn't get to floss and get your ego off on the stage that night, there were plenty of. He's standing out in that parking lot waiting to battle.
Man.
Yeah.
That was the good life in the early 90s in L.A., the Good Life Cafe. Just for a second before you go back to your performance, can you name some of the people or groups who've come out of that?
Definitely. You're talking about Volume 10, Supernatural, Farside, Pigeon John. I've seen Ice Cube stick his head up in there and listen. You know what I'm saying? I seen Fat Joe step on the stage up in there. Yeah. As a matter of fact, Ava DuVernay was a part of a group.
The female director, the black female director.
Absolutely. Called Figures of Speech. So that's how I actually know Ava DuVernay, and that's how she created the film This Is the Life.
Wow.
Yeah. It was pretty phenomenal. Freestyle Fellowship. Wow. I mean,
I just wanted people to understand that this was the place to be, a very fertile, percolating, creative spot for hip-hop in the early 90s. And in steps Medusa.
We are performing the power of the P. Mm-hmm. And we're really just testing it out to see if we even have something. So we got our head wraps on, we're doing our thing, mm-hmm. and we blew the spot up that night, just killed it. Right. And from that point on, we started working with a producer that is pretty big in the underground LA scene named Fat Jack.
Mm.
Yeah, so with Fat Jack, we started creating a lot of different cuts. We got signed with, what was that? What was the name of that back in the day? So
was
many
it
labels.
A local label or major?
No, it was major. Southwest. Bam.
Okay.
There we go.
Perfect.
So we were recording an album with Southwest, and a lot of things were happening in L.A. hip-hop during that time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on albums, we're doing shows, we're on stages with the likes of Lady of Rage, The Last Poets, Watts Prophet.
Man.
It was pretty heavy. I can continue, but, this is that synth movement.
Right.
Now we come a little closer to the present. And Coco, my partner, has decided to go to Atlanta, and here Medusa is by herself, and I am not going to stop doing what I do as an MC.
Okay.
I became an aggressive spitter and was known to wreck a few worlds when it came to battle in those freestyle cyphers. So from that point on, I just started recording myself with Fat Jack. And Youssef Flo, a brother that was with a group called The Nonce. I used to sell mixtapes, but now I'm an MC. But Youssef Flo passed away some years ago, God rest his soul. And from that point on, I just kept digging. Every cipher, everything that was available for me to go to, I made sure I was there. Mm-hmm. Every battle that came my way, I made sure I did that. Mm-hmm. And in poetry, I was a poet as well. A lot of people don't know that. And then some people in the poetry scene only know me as a poet.
Wow.
So in that poetry scene, I ran into Michelle and Degiacello. And
the bass player, the female bass player.
Indeed.
I'm hip to her music.
Yeah, and I started working with her. But more than anything, she had an opportunity to do music for the Tupac movie Gridlock.
Wow.
And she passed on it and passed the opportunity to me.
Wow.
So I was able to write the music that they performed in Gridlock.
Wow.
And so I had, I was able to sit with Tandy Newton at that time, with Tupac. You know, I was friends with Regina King as well, so I would always be on a set somewhere just to see what's going on, see what's popping, doing what.
You did the Gridlock. You're going to make me go out here now and dig through my collection just to watch that movie again. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Medusa. Medusa, y'all, fantastic stories, all real on Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip Hop. Continue, my lady.
So from that point on, I started getting a lot of fans. And I was always connected to that soul upbringing. So I created a band. I believe I was the first in L.A. to have a live band with hip-hop.
Okay.
And I can say that in all honesty and confidence.
And I can back you up because I ain't never seen it. And I've never seen it either. I've been around a long time, okay? So, yes, ma'am, you got that.
Yeah.
What was the name of the band?
Medusa and Feline Science. I had three beautiful female background singers and an incredible band. Mm. And as time went on, people like Ahmad and Macy Gray would call me and ask me to do free shows. Mm-hmm. Or ask me to get them a couple of musicians. Mm-hmm. And these are things that I would do, you know, just being a part of the collective in L.A.
Right.
And within that, I mean, it just allowed me access to do a lot of different shows and get some great exposure with my band.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks that would come out to L.A., I would be privy to open for. Mm-hmm. I've performed with the likes of KRS-One. From KRS-One to Roy Ayers. Let's put it like that.
Look at
you know, everything in between.
Ain't no light, right? That's why you're on this show, not only because of the amount of respect other people in the business have for you, because you have some real stories to tell. Have you ever considered writing a book about your life and experience?
Absolutely. I'm actually working on a series right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can visually see my story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes. So just stay tuned for it.
Oh, believe me. As soon as you give me the word, hey, I'm gonna be posting it everywhere because I'm about backing not only my brothers and sisters in hip hop, but the sisters especially. Y'all have a hard role. You know what I'm saying? And I know how it is. I was a farmer for a brief period of my life. You know what I'm saying? And when you're out there in the sun and you're trying to make things grow. And you actually on the grind, and it's hard. So, you know, I like to help. And I like to let you know that the kings appreciate the queens. You understand?
Thank you. That's good to hear out of a man's voice, you know?
Thank you. Continue with your fascinating story, though, sister. You got your band together. You're performing with people now. We get into probably a period now where we've crossed the 2000 line and coming up into the very modern times and everything. Now I know you're still out there and you're still performing, still active and everything. How do
But in the 2000s, during that time, the beginning of, I was performing a lot at a place called the Temple Bar. Okay. The Temple Bar is in Santa Monica, and anybody from Bilal, Michelle and Degucello, you know, really quality band acts would show up at the Temple Bar. And mm-hmm. I was a regular there once a month.
Mm-hmm.
I had a woman by the name of Cheryl Dunier who used to come and see my show, and she asked me if I would be a part of a movie, an HBO film called Stranger Inside.
Mm.
So I was also fortunate enough to act and do music for that film. If you guys aren't familiar with it, I know a lot of people are and a lot of people aren't. It's a cult classic, but Stranger Inside, it's a women's prison film.
Stranger Inside, okay. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, and it's pretty powerful.
Okay,
it's
now do you write music? I mean, write, you know, note for note? Or how are you what is your creative process?
Not note for note, but creative process would be I know how to convey to a musician to get what I want.
There you go. Gotcha. No, and that's a gift. That's a gift. You know what I'm saying? Because you have to be able to hear exactly what you want to convey it.
Exactly.
Right.
And you know what? I didn't realize how much of a gift that was until recently working with some major musicians. And when I left the room, they told each other, like, she conveys it like she knows exactly what she's doing, like she is a musician. And I'm just doing my best with what I have. So that meant everything to me, and I look at myself as more of a professional when I work with musicians now.
Beautiful.
You know.
Beautiful.
So from that point, so now I have a little acting under my belt. Mm-hmm. I also did an episode of Moesha because they knew me as a poet. I got called to do this. And it was called Run, Moesha, Run. So myself and Moesha actually battled in their little cafe, me as the poet, and I chased her through this whole segment.
Wow.
Trying to rebattle her.
Okay.
So after that, I continued with the band and Feline Science. And I've really been blessed to do some incredible shows. So now we're in the now. And so the music that's happening now is me working with Allo Black, facilitating me and the Dap Kings. I'm also working on a project of my own with DJ Ice, because there are some heavyweight songs that we perform and I never have them for people to buy.
Wow.
So we're finishing up an EP right now of a set that we perform that people really dig.
Okay.
In addition to that, I am writing a series pertaining to my life, and I'm still chasing hardcore beats. I'm getting beats from Battle Cat. I have a few projects out there that are available. Corsets and Cufflinks, Where's the DJ Booth? And these are things, I mean, I have a catalog, if you can imagine.
Beautiful.
That, you know, a catalog.
Beautiful.
So when I see these youngsters get on, you know, online and you know, they spitting and you know, I can just dig in a file and kill them. Dig in a file, you know. Nothing. And I speak that, I'm giving myself chills because I speak that with confidence.
There you go.
There are not many that can stand next to what I do. You can ask a DJ Quick. You can ask a Dr. Dre. You can ask DJ Pooh. You can ask me.
DJ Disco Daddy, because I second that emotion. You are bad, okay? You are multi-talented, multifaceted lady. Now, this is the thing. I have two questions. Can you say something about Project Bloat? Explain what Project Bloat is.
Now, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people think that Project Bloat is its own entity. This is L.A. Mm-hmm. If you are connected in an underground scene, it's all connected, mm-hmm. like the roots of a tree.
Okay.
So Project Bloat was somewhat of a spinoff of Good Life, the Good mm-hmm. Life Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Ben Caldwell, who actually owns Chaos Network, was doing some things at the same time as the Good Life Cafe that lended a space for other MCs and poets.
Right.
But it didn't really start jumping off until after the Good Life. So that was kind of the graduation of youngsters that didn't want to be and curb their tongue anymore, wanted to be grown, you know, be able to spit and cuss and, you know, and create their own thing.
Right.
So there was Project Blow right there in Leimert Park. And I lived in Leimert Park for 22 years.
Wow.
So Project Blow was my spot in the world stage, all of the Fifth Street Dicks, all of the phenomenal places over there.
I played chess out there just about every night. I probably seen you, didn't know you then, you know, because I had forgot all about hip-hop by the 90s, but that was my chess spot. I'm a chess player.
Yes, yes.
Medusa, this has been a joy, okay?
Oh.
We've got a few minutes left, and
indeed.
I want you to tell people how they can get to download, purchase your music, you know, download some of your creations, your artistic creations, like your videos and stuff like that, and where they can purchase your music on the internet, how they can get in contact with Medusa.
You can always catch me at thegangstagoddess.com. That is the best tool. And, of course, you know, I'm on Instagram as Legend Medusa. Mm-hmm. I'm on Facebook as Medusa Cali Frame. Mm-hmm. But that Gangsta Goddess, you get to see a little bit of me growing up on that site.
Okay.
And I can't stress enough, come see me live. Buy a CD hand-to-hand. Have a conversation with me.
Seeing you live is a joy. I mean, you're electric. That's the best way I can describe it, because you combine everything, all the elements, the pop lock, and your writing is on hit. Everything that you write has impact. I mean, you can tell that you've been doing what you've been doing almost all your life. It comes through because you are a queen. If you were a man, you'd be called a master. You understand?
Thank you, my Lord. Thank you.
That's Medusa, okay? In a nutshell, the way from what I've seen and gotten to know you as a performer, been on stage with you, you're electric. You're an electric lady. Now, hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay, no. Okay, we have an incoming call. I'm just going to end that. Oh, just keep talking through it? Okay. Hello, you still here?
Yeah, I'm still here. I would like to explain for the women.
I want to say, I want to ask you, where did you get the name Medusa? I know you told me when, but what made you choose that name?
Well, you know, Medusa turned a whack MC to stone. That's the first. Mm-hmm. You know, my young mind was there. And then I looked Medusa up in an old dictionary from the 1920s, and it said that it was the way a jellyfish swims, that it's formless, it's free-flowing.
Uh-huh.
It's called a Medusa form.
Wow. With the tentacles flowing behind it, pushing itself through the water, it does flow. Wow. Okay. Wow.
You know, in addition to that, you know, she was one of five sisters who was a goddess, and her power was to, you know, create truth. You know, with her spit, her truth can stone you. It can freeze you, make you think.
Step out. Okay. Medusa, we want to thank you for your time. We want to thank you for your contribution to hip-hop. You're truly a queen. You're a master performer, male or female. Nobody could touch you if they stood next to you on stage. I don't want to go on after Medusa.
Thank God. We love you,
and we want your career to continue to blossom. And thank you for coming on Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip Hop.
Thank you, Disco Daddy, for having me, just for calling and reaching out. And I want to say something to the gangster goddesses out there. You ladies, gangster your position, but keep your integrity as a queen.
Look out. Look out. Medusa, y'all on Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip Hop. Peace.
So wasn't it a great show? Come back next week, every Saturday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Disco Daddy's Wide World of Hip Hop Show. Man, it's a great one. Epic. See you next week. Bye.